Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody, on a nice sunny Sunday morning. We all please stand and sing with us. We're going to sing about how great and mighty Jesus is to save. We all bow your heads with me to open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that you rose your son, Jesus, from the dead, that he was that perfect sacrifice that covered our sin with his blood, God, and redeemed us unto you, God. I thank you and I praise you for that this morning, God. I thank you for our church. I thank you that we can gather here together and worship your name and proclaim your name with spirit and in truth, God. And Lord, I pray that you be upon this worship service and upon Richie as he brings your word to us this morning, God. I pray a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon him as he speaks your word this morning. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. The past two Sundays, I told you about the disaster relief and prayer ministries of the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association. Today, I'm going to tell you about the other ministries of the association. The association is headed by the Director of Missions, Chuck Morrow, and the Associational Administrator, Jonathan Matthews. The association has a discipleship ministry and offers evangelism training and resources through its website, www.uovba.org, and through in-person training in the office in Moundsville. The website videos are free to access. The association supports the Indian Creek Christian School, Women's Missionary Union, and the Transformed Youth Ministry and Youth Camp. There's also a missions and evangelism ministry, which engages in various mission projects, such as the Kentucky Race Ministry, the Red Line Race Ministry at Tyler County Motor Speedway, Children's Ministry at the New Martinsville Regatta, and the Seedline Bible Making Project. The association drops a podcast on Fridays, which covers topics designed to strengthen the local church, and pastoral morning fellowships are held in various places on 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Mondays. By giving to the Summer Legacy Offering, you help to support these associational ministries. Open Doors' goal for this offering is $2,000, and today is the last day we will take up donations. So far, $544.82 has been given. If you would like to give, please write Legacy on your envelope, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you. Or you also may give to the Legacy Offering through the giving link on the church website by clicking the Add Donation link. Thank you for giving. Please continue to pray for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association and the 22 churches it serves. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. You know, Belinda's mother goes to one of those churches. It's a small church in New Martinsville. And I'm hearing all kind of radio noise. Yeah, okay, headsets. but anyways, the thing I wanted to say, it's a small church, man. It's only like 20, 30 people in that congregation. And they're getting all excited about going to the regatta to share Jesus with people down there. And I, you know, we've been down to going to church to her mom Sunday evening sometimes. And it's really cool because every Sunday, you know, we're going to be going to the regatta, folks. Get ready, we're going to go down there and share Jesus with people. And that's a tiny little congregation of like 20, 30 people. And look what they're doing for God. We all please stand. We're going to continue worship this morning at the name of Jesus.
Your name. Your great name, sing God.
Tell you this oftentimes, there's a lot of stuff going on in the church. There's a lot of people that are sick, a lot of people that need help and they need deliverance all the time. But one thing I know for sure, that the God we praise today is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I think as you look at your life, look back at those times that God was faithful. Because if you're going through something now, there was a time God was faithful in the past, and he's the same God. Amen.
I'm calling on the God of Mary. calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you.
Thank you that you are the same God. Lord, that the power you showed then, you still show now. That the healings you showed then, God, you still show now. And Lord, we are so grateful. We are so thankful for that. God, as we come before your house today, as we come before you, Lord, I just pray that we lay down all that chaos, all the things that are going on in our lives, all the stresses. And Lord, we set it all aside for just a few minutes here as we study your word, as we come before you. God, that we can take a few minutes to just be truly focused on you. God, I pray that as we do this, Lord, I just ask that you forgive me of my sins. God, I ask that you forgive me, that you make me clean again so that I can come before you. Lord, I pray that you rain your Holy Spirit down on this whole place so that we all can see and hear what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you hold me up, that these are your words and not mine. And Lord, if they're not your words, I pray that you silence my lips and rise up the man who is. Because as we study your word, Lord, that's what I want us to seek is you. I want us to run to you, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. And it's in your most wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Some of you guys are awake, some of you guys aren't, it's okay. I was told I was not allowed to bring the laser pointers from preschool out to point out the people who are sleeping. So they said that was frowned upon, and something about Beth saying they weren't allowed to be used in church, and that I had to follow that rule too. So that said, I wanted to give you guys a couple quick updates, because as most of you can tell, I am not Pastor Larry, and I think most of you knew I wasn't going to be Pastor Larry today. Pastor Larry is doing very, very well. So praise the Lord for that. The surgery went incredibly good. He is healing. It's a slow recovery process. Although I did talk with him this week at one point, and I asked him if he was ready to come and do the Tough Mudder with me in September. He said yes. That he would stand beside me and watch as I ran past him. So, I mean, it's some positive. He's at least going to come and hang out with me. So, please continue to pray for Pastor Larry and his healing, though. We obviously want him to have a nice, safe recovery. Pray for Donna and Beth and everybody else who's babysitting Pastor Larry as well. Oh, it's his mom today? Okay, so see, pray for Vanna as well. So continue to pray for all those who are sitting with him. Also, some updates on Callista and Ezekiel. I spoke with Callista, and she actually sent a message out to the family this week. Ezekiel has had a lot of his tubes removed, and he is doing incredibly well, especially for a preemie baby. So God is continuing to really show himself through the great healing that's happening there. Continue to pray for Callista and Ezekiel and Jane as well. They're still obviously in, Ezekiel is still in the hospital. Callista is out. So continue to pray for Ezekiel in that time while he's in the hospital. Those are two of the big ones I know everybody has been praying about. There's a lot of our family members in the church. There's a lot of things going on in the church. There's a lot of people in the church who are sick or who are going through things. So remember your brothers and sisters. Remember the family members we have here in the church, because if you look around, there's some family members who are missing today who are out sick and who are dealing with things. Which actually leads me right into where I kind of was looking at today. You ever have one of those weeks where you just, nothing goes right? Right? How about one of those weeks where you can't win no matter what you do? Every time you turn, every place you go, you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. How about one of those days where you made all of what you felt like were the right choices, and it doesn't fail, they were all the wrong ones? How about, have you ever had a day where you just wished you would have stayed in bed? Listen, there are some times where you get up and you go to work or you go do what you got to do, and you just thought, man, I wish I would have stayed in bed today. I think most of us can agree we've all had those times in our life. I think most of us sadly can agree that we've had probably a lot of days even like that at times. Sometimes the paths we go, the journeys we have, we take some different directions that aren't always fun paths. Well, today I felt like I hadn't preached in a while, so I thought I'd share a long word for you today. So we're going to read the entire book of Jonah today. So if you have your Bibles, open up. I know there are some of you that are looking at me going, whoa, wait a minute here, Rich, I did not agree to that. Don't worry. You all know me well enough to know I talk fast. So we'll get through it. Don't stress. But if you have your words, let's open up. Let's get into Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to share with you guys Jonah's life and a little bit of his experiences. And what I want to do here is I want to look at some lessons we can learn from Jonah when we study his word, when we study what he went through. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It starts off with this. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because their evil has come up before me." Now I'm going to stop right here for 1 second before we go too far. How many of you guys ever have the word of the Lord come right to you? How many of you guys have God audibly speak to you outright in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night? Not many of us have had that experience, and there are a handful, but the truth is, me and Lana were sitting and reading this, she goes, "How do you know when God's talking to you?" And I thought, what an incredible question, of course, from Lana. And I go, well, that's a really hard thing. And I can't truly tell you all of the different answers because everybody is affected differently with that. So I'll tell you all the same way I told Lana, which is God's word comes to us in many different forms. Some of us have that word that just we wake up with, that thing that's just on our heart that we can't get out of our minds. Some of us were studying maybe a devotion or we just read through something and we come across a segment of text that we just hits our hearts. For some of us, it's something as simple as we're praying and God just lays on our hearts that this is something we need to do. Each one of us is affected differently, but Jonah here is told, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it because their evil has come up before me. I stopped right there because in the next verse we see Jonah, verse 3, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. All right. Jonah was a prophet. He was talking with the Lord regularly. He was having the Lord actually talk to him audibly. And yet, Jonah runs. Like, kind of right off the bat, he got up and ran. And he goes to this place called Joppa. Okay, and listen, I really wasn't sure where Joppa was. I really wasn't sure where Jonah kind of was at. So I found this verse in 2 Kings 14:25. It says, "He restored Israel's border from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba. According to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel has spoken through his servant, the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai, from Gath-Hepher." And forgive me for the mispronunciation if and or that happened. So Jonah came from a place called Gath-Hepher, to which roughly, if you go to the next slide here, please, Leslie, you can't really see it too well, but Joppa is not too far off from this Gath-Hepher, okay? But I wanted to point out some of the general mileage that we're talking about for where he had to go. God told Jonah, go from where you're at, roughly in the Joppa region here, to Nineveh. That's about 550 miles. Jonah's path he chose to go was Tarshish. Now listen, I know some people are like, well, maybe he was just going the long way. There is no long way. He went out of his way and ran as far away from God as he possibly could. 550, 2500. I don't think there's any better way to say he was running from God. But I'm not sure that he was the smartest guy because what we find out next. So let's keep reading, right? Verse 4, it says, but the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors, they were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, what are you doing? Sound asleep. Get up. Call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. Come on, the sailors said to each other, let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for the trouble we're in. They cast the lots, and the lots singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business? Where are you from? What is your country? And what people are you from? He answered them, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. In verse 10 says, then the men were seized by a great fear and said to him, what have you done? These men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he told them so. So they said to him, what should we do so that the sea will calm down for us? For the sea was getting worse and worse. And he answered them, pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you. For I know that I'm to blame for this great storm that is against you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with the innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done just as you pleased. Then they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And verse 17 finishes chapter 1 with, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. You'll notice that I have some whale crackers here because we didn't have any goldfish, and Travis was kind enough to bring me some whale crackers. That's the reason for that. There's no actual application other than that, guys. Don't get too excited. I'm not sharing the crackers today. They are better. Okay, moving on. Yeah, here's the honest truth. Church, I find Jonah to be very relatable at times. I think that's a lot of why I've been stuck reading his reading the word, and reading through his life and what was happening to Jonah. So I want to look at some lessons that we can learn from Jonah and his life. That's what I want to share with you today, the lessons that we can learn from Jonah. And the first one is, number one, which is God's love is limitless. Look at what God's telling Jonah to do in verse 3. It wasn't go tell Jews about God. It wasn't go and tell a close city that Jonah was nearby to God's word. It was actually to go tell a people that Jonah didn't like. These aren't his friends and his family. These aren't his brothers and his sisters. These are people that Jonah didn't like. These are a group of people that Jonah didn't have a lot in common with. See, God loves these people. It's limitless, God's love. He still loves these people. Despite the terrible things that they were doing, he loved them, which is why he sent Jonah to them to try and tell them of the terrible things they were doing. That's the point there, right? God doesn't want people to be doing terrible things. He doesn't want the people to have to take the consequences. God's love is for everyone and is for everyone around him. See, the thing is, God's love has no limits. That means that person down your street, God loves. That means the person that you don't like, God still loves. That means that person that really just annoys you too much, yeah, God still loves them too. Now, that's easy to say, right? It's easy to say that God loves everyone, that God's love has no limits. But then we think, well, surely there's a limit. There's somewhere, point, some time when God's love stops, right? No. These people were in sin. The people of Nineveh were people who were in sin. And God loved them. He wanted Jonah to share the word about him. But here's the thing. That's not the only lesson that we can learn from Jonah. See, the second thing we can learn from Jonah is that you can't escape God. You can try. Jonah tried to go 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. You can run, but you can't hide. Because he is going to find you. Here's the thing. Jonah gets in a boat thinking he can escape. And God allows a storm to go through. And then just when maybe, possibly, Jonah's like, well, I can just swim or I'll sink here and die. God sends a giant fish to eat him up. He swallows him alive for 3 days and three nights. I gotta tell you, in terms of fishermen stories, in terms of things I've heard, that's just gross. I mean, look, I'm not a big fisherman. I've still not caught a fish yet, so I can't even call myself a fisherman. But the truth is, even if I did go and catch a fish, I'm really not sure what I would do with it when I caught it. Release it? Thanks, Blake. Blake has my back. He doesn't realize what's going to go into that yet, right? Thanks, buddy. If we catch one, we especially have to release it. Listen, here's the thing, though. Jonah was inside the fish, right? He's not just touching the fish on the outside. We took the kids out to this this ostrich farm while we were in Phoenix, and there was a little stingray thing that we got to pet the stingrays, right? Ari wanted nothing to do with it. Because they're slimy, and they're sticky, and they feel gross. That's on the outside. How much worse would it be to be inside of a fish? Yes, or a stingray, Blake, thanks. Gotta love when your child adds the commentary for you. I know, listen, we gotta get somebody up here, right? So maybe next time I'll work with him on it, let him preach half. You can't escape God. But the last lesson that I want you to see from this first chapter is that disobedience has consequences. Look, disobedience doesn't always only affect you. The choices we make, the choices that we do, they affect the people around us. Actions have consequences.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that might help for later.
I didn't know that.
Listen, disobedience has consequences. Disobedience to God has consequences that may not only affect you. Did these sailors do anything wrong that we're aware of? Right into that one. Just slide into it. listen, did these sailors do anything wrong that we're aware of? No, we don't know anything about these guys. We know that they weren't believers. We know that they were praying to other gods. But the disobedience that Jonah had, had these sailors with their lives in jeopardy. This storm was getting ready to sink their boat. But after they prayed, after they got rid of Jonah, they asked God, right, for mercy in this. And they threw Jonah overboard. And then these men, they were seized with this great fear of the Lord. Now, we don't know what happened to these men, right? We can infer, based on what we're seeing here, that because of their great fear of the Lord, that they probably changed their lives a little bit, right? At the end of it, it says they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and they made vows. This would be like for us, they're deciding to make a decision to give their lives to Christ, okay? But the reality is, we don't know what happens after this, but we know that their consequence of Jonah's disobedience was that these men had their lives put in jeopardy. Thankfully, they turned to the Lord. But that's not always how consequences go, right? Sometimes our consequences have much dire responses. Sometimes our consequences are things we have to live with for the rest of our lives. But that's not where Jonah's story ends. I wasn't exaggerating. Pick back up your Bibles, get back into Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 picks up and says this. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Verse 2, I called to the Lord in my distress and he answered me. I cried out for help from the deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. When you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, the current overcame me. All of your breakers and your billows swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit. Lord, my God, as my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And verse 10, that's when the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Ew, thank you. Like, it wasn't bad enough to be in the fish. Now the fish throws him up. Now, and listen, I don't know how many of you guys are big beach goers, but I'm not a big seaweed guy. First of all, it tastes nasty. Just saying. Just saying it tastes nasty. Oh yeah, I'm pointing you out. Seaweed tastes nasty. It's terrible to have around you. It doesn't feel good. I'm not a big beach goer. But I gotta tell you, the idea of it being wrapped around my head does not really make me go, let me jump into the ocean more. I wasn't gonna lean towards you. I was gonna lean towards family members. No, you don't. Listen, here's the thing. I think there's another lesson that we can learn from Jonah, right? God hears our prayers. If you don't believe that, then you really haven't been paying attention, not just within this text, but you probably haven't been paying attention to the things going on in the church over the last couple months. Right? God hears our prayers. And yet, that's one of the least attended services in the church. When's the last time you went to the Lord in prayer outside of a Sunday morning service? When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed because you knew that that was the only thing you could do? And maybe you've been blessed that you haven't had to be in a circumstance where you're so terrified or you're so scared that your life is in jeopardy, right? Because that's what Jonah's in. Jonah's realizing as he's falling under the water, as he's in the depths of this fish, as he's being strangled by the seaweed, Jonah's scared. Jonah ran from God and now is crying for help. Now, I gotta be honest. Many of you guys have seen, my children occasionally run through the church, right? Every now and then, Blake, when he starts running, he'll run into a pew. Or for Blake's case, sometimes he runs into a wall, right? And the truth is, when he does something like that, obviously I'm upset for him and I'm concerned about my child, but there's a consequence to not listening to me, right? But I still listen to him when he cries. I still hear him out and I still try to calm him down because I love my son, no matter how much he's running through the church. Much like we love our children in their different things that they do, even when they upset us, even when they disappoint us, I know from family members here in the church that we love our children despite what they do sometimes, right? God is no different. No, God's not happy when we are disobedient, but God does hear our prayers. He hears our cries. Jonah was in the wrong. He ran. He ran fast. He ran as not very far, but he tried to run far. But God still listened to Jonah. God hears our prayers. Number five, God's grace is also for everyone. Jonah was in a great fish because he ran from God. This isn't exactly the example of a great person or even a great Christian here, right? Jonah's not exactly the epitome of the greatest believer or the greatest prophet. You don't have him in the list of great leaders throughout our Old Testament or the New Testament. But Jonah was still saved by God when he cried out to him. So why is that important? Well, listen, church, that's so important because it means you don't have to get fixed and cleaned up before you come into the church. You don't have to be cleaned up. You don't have to be all the way through all of your issues when you're here. Let me be very clear. We are sick people. We are struggling people. We are all going through different things. Your problems, your issues, they may not be the same as mine, but make no mistake, I am a sinner just like you. We are all sick people. We are not perfect here at Open Door Baptist Church, and we don't claim to be so. We're called to be drawing closer to God. His grace is for everyone. It's so important because we need to see that and we need to understand that because we need to make sure we're showing his love and his grace to everyone that comes in through these doors as well. But that's not the last lesson yet. Go to Jonah chapter 3 and follow with me again. Jonah chapter 3 picks up like this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now I'm going to stop real quick here. This isn't the first time, this is the second time, right? God is telling Jonah something a second time around. for you dads out there. How many times will you give a direction? Three times? All right, some of you are nicer than me. I only like to give it once. If I have to give it more than once, then my voice starts getting higher or lower, or then I start actually yelling, and that's not good. Nobody likes when I yell. Right, Blake? Yeah, that's right. All right. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Verse 2, get up. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Preach the message that I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city. It was a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city, and he proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. And then verse 5 hits, and all of a sudden, then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Verse 6 says this. It says, when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, he took off his royal robe, and he covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. By the order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoings. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. God saw their actions in verse 10. It says that they turned from their evil ways, and so God relented from the disaster he'd threatened them with, and he did not do it. The sixth lesson that we can learn from Jonah is that repentance takes action. Look at these people in Nineveh. They moved, and they moved quick. It wasn't a, let me think about it, let me pray about it. It wasn't a, let me sit and mull it over. They didn't sit and debate. They didn't sit and argue. They moved. They ran. They were fast in their repentance. Right? That's what it says there. When we look at that, he goes on the first day, he says what he says, and then the people of Nineveh believed God. Most of us, if you didn't grow up in church, most of us didn't believe God right away. Some of us are what we call skeptics, okay? The truth is, some of us, we take a little while, we took a little while to come to the faith because we just didn't understand, or we didn't believe, we didn't understand why God would love us. But repentance, that's different, right? Repentance means that they turn away. And this shows that repentance, and it shows it in action. The king even gets off of his throne, takes off his royal garments, and says everybody is in sackcloth. He makes a royal decree. He shuts it all down. They didn't do what was easy. They didn't start a committee to make decisions. They didn't make a plan. They did whatever they could to turn away from their issues. But Jonah's story doesn't end there. So pick up with me, and we're going to read the last of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4 goes like this. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than it is to live. The Lord asks, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah left the city. He found a place east of it. He made a shelter there, and he sat in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over the shade for his head to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted. He wanted to die. He said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah replies, "Yes, it's right." He replied, "I'm angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals." Church, we have read the book of Jonah today. And I close the book of Jonah with a couple more points here for you. See, here's the thing. People can change. This isn't always easy. It's not always what we want, but people can change. People don't always change. Our attitudes are often the most difficult thing to change. Oftentimes, we get stuck in an attitude where we feel entitled or as though we deserve something that we don't. I feel like sometimes I relate to Jonah, because sometimes when I get angry, you can't justify anything to make it feel like I'm not angry. I'm just mad. And when we sit here and we look at it, when God is talking to Jonah, you know, you almost kind of laugh, like, how are you really going to sit here and challenge God? For those of you who struggle with anger, let me ask you, is your argument any better? Because that's where I'm at. When I get angry and I can't be changed my opinion, my mind, the honest truth is, I don't have a good argument. I just am angry. And I'm reminded of Jonah's path here, that Jonah says what he claims here, that he's so angry that he could die. I'm reminded, though, that people can change. See, the thing is, Nineveh was not a place that seems like it should have changed. There's a lot of people there. That's what God just told Jonah. There's a lot of people there. And yet, the king made a decision to change for the whole people. Number 8, God is in control. Jonah wasn't happy. Things didn't go his way. Jonah ran from God. He chose every path that he could possibly go. Gets swallowed by a fish. Gets thrown up by a fish. Ends up going to Nineveh anyway. Proclaims God's word. And the people of Nineveh gave their lives to God. God is still in control. No matter what your attitude is, no matter what your plan or your path is, God is in control. Always. Now there's one last verse that I want to look at today, and it comes out of Matthew chapter 12. It's verse 38 through 42, and it's a reference to Jonah. It says this, and some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days, 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's preaching. And look, something greater than Jonah is here." See, here's the thing. Jesus tells the people of his time, the scribes and the Pharisees, he tells them that even back in Jonah's time, people were looking for miracles. They were looking for signs. They were looking for the proof. But he told them there's something even more important. There's something greater here than what Jonah did then. My last lesson that we can learn from Jonah is that Jesus paid the price. Look, I realize this might have felt like a fire hose of scripture. Probably not that much, because most of Jonah is a small book. Okay? And most of you probably knew this story of Jonah anyway. It's been studied through pretty much every children's class through all of history, right? But the thing is, there's a lot of lessons that we can take from the book of Jonah. There's a lot of lessons we can take from the life of Jonah. And I think it's important for us to remind ourselves through these lessons that all of us have a different path, and all of us have a different thing that we're going through at this time. Look, when I look around you guys and I see everybody sitting in the congregation, we're all at different points of life. Even those of us who might be at the same age range are at different phases in our life. Some of us have new jobs, some of us have new positions, some of us have new things we're embarking through, some of you have new children, some of you are on the other side of that, some of you are watching children go away, you're watching family members pass on, some of us are going through tough times, things that we didn't plan on, because really, who ever plans on tough times, right? Some of us are going through consequences, some of our own, maybe some of others. Listen, no matter where you stand, no matter what area in life you are, there's a lesson from Jonah that you can hear, that you can learn from today. These are just the 9 lessons that I saw. And I'll be very honest. If you sit and you read and you sit and you study the word, maybe you took a little bit of a different point. Actually, in Sunday school, we started talking about some of the interesting pieces of Jonah today, where we discussed taking lots, right? And casting lots, and what the difference in casting lots is. Maybe you pick on something, you pick up on something else, maybe within his anger. I can't answer you what God's working on with you. What I can answer for you is this. I can tell you that because God's love is limitless, you won't ever be able to escape God. I can tell you that your disobedience is going to have consequences. But even though it may, God does still hear our prayers. And his grace is for every one of us, no matter what you're going through. I can tell you that repentance is going to take action. I can tell you that people, no matter the day, the age, the person, the gender, people can change. I can tell you that God is in control. And last but certainly not least, I can tell you that Jesus, he paid the price. He paid it all. And so, my friends, I ask as you go out this week, pray about where you're at with the Lord. Seek him with what you need from the lessons from Jonah. As the praise band comes forward, I will remind you that we all need the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and grace. God, I thank you so much that, Lord, we have the opportunity to come and stand before you today. God, that we have the ability to study your word, to seek you, and to find lessons and things that we can understand throughout your word. God, I pray that as we go through our week, as we go through our days, that, Lord, we are reminded of your great love that you have for us. But I also pray, God, that you allow us to continue to seek you and run to you. Lord, I pray that we don't take the Jonah's path, that we choose to run to you, not away from you. But God, I also pray that in all these things, Lord, that your will be done. Your kingdom come, and that, Lord, you show us all of this as you've called us to do. Lord, it's in your great name I pray, and all God's people said.
Thank you, Itchy. We all please stand.
I give my life.
Church, as a reminder, quick announcement there, all of our Wednesday night classes are back on like normal this week. So please come join us, hang out with us on Wednesday night. All the kids' classes, preschool classes, adult classes, everything's on like it normally would be on. All right? That being said, as you go this week, take heed, learn a lesson from Jonah, whatever that lesson may be. But more than anything, know that God loves you, that we love you here at Open Door. Thank you all. You are dismissed.
Reggie.
Yes?
Downstairs in the kitchen, there is a box, a case of hamburger buns. Please take them. Somebody. Anybody.
Anybody who wants hamburger buns, go get them.